Spring training is finally here. An awesome lineup of Cooperstown heroes that just got voted in, and a word from Barry Bonds on Dexter Fowler's swing. We're going to get to all that and even more right here on the Four Seam Report.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to the podcast, the Four Seam Report podcast. Hey, we've got a lot of news today, got a lot to get into, and it's exciting because this week workouts have started for spring training, and the pitchers, the catchers, the position players at this point, pretty much for every team have showed up, and people are getting ideas on what kind of team they're going to have. A lot of times, reporters, just from the workouts, can tell a lot about certain players and if they're going to hold up to what they did last year, if there's concerns. Workouts are more important than a lot of fans realize. And so it's an important time of the season. And not only is it exciting, but it is worrisome right now because we are still in a predicament, a total standstill in the free agent market, as players from the top of the market all the way down still yet do not have a job. And of course, headlining that is Bryce Harper, Manny Machado. And then on the pitching end, you got, well, good Lord, his name always escapes me. The Boston closing pitcher. Goodness, this is why I need notes in front of me. Anyway, all these players, headliners, don't have a job, but it's more than just them. There's lots of players that are out of a job right now, and it's not good. There is sign of hope. Craig Kimbrell is who I was thinking of. There is signs of hope, though, because, as I mentioned in the last podcast, what needs to happen is Major League Baseball needs to sit down with the Players Association and get something worked out, the Players Union, because this is bad for both sides, all right? It's bad for the players because it drives their salaries down the further it gets. They've got to drop their price to be able to get a team to pounce on them. And not only that, but you can end up like a certain pitcher who we won't name, played for the Cardinals, that he got signed mid-spring training, or actually, no, it was already in the season. Come onto the team and had a disastrous season. And so it can be bad because you don't get your spring training in. So it's bad for the players, no matter what, but it's also bad for baseball because if you get to sign a player like Bryce Harper in, say, January, then you can hype it up that this guy's going to be playing for your team. You know, you can get fans going, get him out there. And it's just better for the team, too. It's better for baseball because there's not that worry from the players. There's not the chance of players going on strike, which could eventually happen. Anyway, I mentioned that what needs to happen is they need to sit down and work out a deal to solve this issue. And the biggest thing, of course, is the issue of tanking, which we've previously talked about, where teams will purposefully lose, even though they don't say it or indicate it. They'll keep players that are qualified in the minor leagues so that they keep a losing record until they build up such prospect muscle that they can bring it all up at once. And then whatever money they didn't spend on elite players, they can now spend on elite players to add to and complement that prospect muscle, and they end up with a super team. But you got these teams that purposefully lose, purposefully not competitive, and it's bad for baseball. It's terrible for baseball. So there's all sorts of issues that can be worked out, but they are finally sitting down. They finally come to the table and begin talking about things and trying to get it figured out. It's got to happen. Something's got to change. And I think we're going to see change within the next couple of years. Now, in the midst of all that, You know, they're bringing up different issues that maybe they can find common ground on. The major issue in the last week that's come up that looks like it could happen really soon is the DH is going to come to the National League. Now, lots of people have different feelings about this. It's pretty obvious, though, that if you are about making the game fair, if you're about making the game balanced, then it's reasonable to say, hey, let's have the DH in both leagues. It would be similar to saying, well, you know, in basketball, you know, in this league, we're going to have a center, a guy that can play center, you know, and then in this league, we're not going to have it, you know. It just doesn't make sense, you know, from that point of view. Now, I am kind of a traditionalist in the fact that I really kind of hate to see it change because it's been this way for such a long time. You know, you've got the National League. You got pitchers that can hit, you know, and you think about the Adam Wainwrights and the Madison Bumgarners of the world that maybe you'll no longer see, except in a crucial pinch hitting situation where there's nobody left. We're going to miss out on that because it's so exciting, you know, to not only see a pitcher dominate on the mound, but then to see him get at the plate and just absolutely rake. And that was kind of the hashtag for a while over the last year, pitchers who rake. It's cool, and baseball is going to miss out on it. It really is. And so I hate that. But at the same time, I understand why they're doing it. So there is talk that this could happen as soon as this season. And that does affect the St. Louis Cardinals in the fact that it gives them the best reason in the world to keep a player like Jose Martinez, who is a terrible defender, but he's quite a hitter. And maybe now he'll have a place. Don't know for sure right now if it will happen this season, but most likely by next season, there's going to be a DH in both leagues. So prepare yourself for that. Now, the other thing they're talking about is a pitch clock, 20-second pitch clock, right? And, you know, there's different people have different opinions on that as well. There's ways around a lot of stuff. And there's another thing that they're trying to do that's the pitchers have to face at least three batters every time they're put in. So, in other words, this could eliminate, for some teams, the lefty specialist. You know, I'm putting in a relief pitcher as a left-handed batter and I bring in that lefty specialist, and there's two right-handed batters behind him, well, he's got to face them, you know, and so that's unfortunate. Now, here's what's extremely ignorant about this, and I've taken issue with Major League Baseball a few of the rules before because they haven't really thought the thing through. What you got to think about is managers and ownership, management in general, they are very crafty, okay? And so when you start changing rules and things like that, they can find ways around it. And so you need to think about how they might counter whatever rule you're going to put out. Now, I'm going to give you a scenario real quick of what could change, right? So if they do this three batters faced per pitcher, which I think is absolutely dumb. It's just dumb. If you're going to trim away at the time, because that's the main issue, they hate all the pitching changes and it's all eating away and making the game last longer, trim away at different spots. Okay, you can have a pitch clock, you can do all this other stuff, but let's stop with the three batters per pitcher. If they want that guy to face one batter, that's fine with me. And it should be with the rest of baseball because that's just common sense. But I'm going to give you a scenario. Just say that you've got the guy up there, he's a lefty specialist or whatever your situation is, and you're facing a left-handed batter. And the rule is he's got to face three guys, okay? So you put him in to face that left-handed batter. He gets the guy out. Great job, okay? And all of a sudden, out of the clear blue, yeah, he's got to face those two right-handed batters, but, he's hurt his finger. He's feeling sick, you know, he hurt his ankle. He's feeling soreness, you know, in his back. And And the manager, can't you just see it happen? The manager comes out and, oh yeah, Blue, we got to take him out. Yeah, he's got to come out. We don't want to risk it, you know. And so they avoid facing the three batters because they've gotten together and they've said, okay, you're going to face that guy, but then you're going to kind of start grabbing at your thigh there, like you pulled your hamstring or something. And this is how it's going to happen. This is what's going to happen, okay? And I'm not saying it won't happen all the time, but managers are going to figure out a way to get around that. And your rules have to be sensible. They've got to be practical. And you've got to think through how you're doing it, okay? So the 20-second pitch clock, that can't be gotten around, okay? 20 seconds, you haven't thrown a pitch. You know, here's a penalty, okay? That's straightforward. But when you do stuff like this, it's just senseless. And I'm going to tell you right now, I'm going to be very angry if they do that, because when you look at the masterful managers who have deployed their bullpens in just the perfect way, they cannot really perfect their craft when you're changing the rules for it to where you put restraints on strategy. There's nothing wrong with strategy. This is where also I've got a beef with the idea of, there can't be any shifts, no shifts, you know. Left-handed batter pulls to the right side of the field every time. Well, you can't move your infield and outfield that way, okay? No, that's really, 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 really dumb. Baseball is a game of strategy. It's a game of strategy. And if the guy, this is what needs to happen, and Matt Adams adjusted, Big Poppy has, you know, adjusted where he needs to. If they move all the way over to the right or whatever, however they move, then it's your job to hit them where they ain't. Okay? If they all go to the right side of the field, you better figure out how to pull the ball the other way. It's just common sense. Do what you got to do. And if all you want to do is pull the ball into right field, you know, and sit on it or whatever it is you do, and you pull it over there every time, and they're all the time moving over to that side of the field, well, hit it past them. You know, hit it over the fence. But the game's about adjustments, okay? It's about strategy and adjustments. This is why it's okay if a player does a hidden ball trick. It's strategy. Players all the time have to adjust their batting stance, their swing. They've got to adjust, pitchers have to adjust their mechanics. So why shouldn't they be allowed to adjust their fielding? Why shouldn't they be allowed to play a little closer to the line on this guy who's looking like he's going to hit it that way? He's fouled two or three off that direction. I probably need to play on the line, right? It's adjustments. And baseball is trying to ruin that. Somebody's got to speak up, because I understand their main reason for changing a lot of these rules and making new rules is because the game's lasting so long. But look, trim away at the game on time, but don't trim away at the actual game itself, okay? It's still got to be competitive, and it's less competitive if you make it to where you can't change pitchers as often and you can't do shifts. And so I've just got a problem with that. So my rant's over there. Anyway, we're going to see a lot of changes in baseball over the next couple of years. There's no doubt about that. And hopefully, first and foremost, they're going to take care, because all that's on the side. First and foremost, they need to be taking care of the tanking issue and the lagging free agent market. Now, note on that free agent market, it's said that possibly we're down to two teams on Bryce Harper. And obviously, one of them would be the Phillies. I know that the Yankees have lurked. We don't know, you know, if they'll pounce on either player. San Diego's gotten into the mess, and I think that they're visiting with Harper this week. I think they already have. And so I don't understand. Again, the San Diego Padres, don't understand the logic there, but They're talking to him nonetheless. I think, honestly, I think that Bryce Harper would end up in Philly. I think that may very well happen. I think he'll get offered the most money there, and they've got a long-term plan. So I expect that to happen. The Giants have kind of jumped in on some players too. So you're not really sure what's going to happen there. Now, on the Cardinals side of things, I would say that if there's anybody that they're interested in signing, of course, they'd love to have any of these players. But if I were to say we're looking at all three of Machado, Harper, and Kimbrel, who is the one that they are most likely to sign before in the next month, I would absolutely say it would be Craig Kimbrel, because it's the most obvious need that they have out of those three players. It's not a place for Machado anywhere. There could be a place for Harper, but it would be hard. You'd have to move people around in order to make it to happen and probably get rid of somebody like Dexter Fowler, who they seem to have great confidence in. I don't see it happening. Craig Kimbrel, it seems to me, with the guy who his price is going down, the further along these things go where they don't have a contract, they don't have a team, the price gradually goes down. And it's just a fact. And the further it goes down, the longer this thing goes, the more restless some teams get and think, you know what, well, let's just throw our hat in the ring and see if he'll take us. And let's throw this little bit smaller offer out there and just see if he jumps on it. Cardinals could do that for Craig Kimbrel. And I'll just be honest with you, I would support it. I kind of wish that they would. It doesn't have to be a long-term deal. You know, throw a short-term, even a short-term high-earning deal out there and just see if he takes it. And it's going to boost your team. It's going to really help. You know, and even if Craig doesn't do what we would expect him to do, we've got plenty of players lined up behind him. And really, you've got an awesome team if you do that. Now, got to take a moment. And we're going to talk about our sponsors. So we'll get back to our content in just a second. And I got to tell you about some really good sponsors. So in the Cardinals spring training, right now, we're looking at a lot of players that are out there. Maybe not at quite as much competition as there was before, but certainly on the pitching rotation, there's some competition. You've got somebody like Adam Wainwright is out to prove that he can still be good and do a great job. You've got Alex Reyes trying to prove something. You've got several Memphis players that are in there. You've got Michael Wacha, who is certainly trying to show that he can come back from injury and do a great job. And so the pitching rotation is not really set in stone. We can tell you who is set in stone, starting with Miles Mikolas, Carlos Martinez, of course. Jack Flaherty is cemented in there. And you got two spots that may be kind of questionable here. And you've got lots of players to fill it in with. And again, that's why I kind of rate the Cardinals higher in the division before the season's even started, because of the fact that neither the Cubs or the Brewers have the kind of pitching depth that the Cardinals have. The Cardinals are about tied up, I think, with both of them as far as the offense goes. I think that's pretty even, but nobody has that pitching depth the Cardinals have. And so that's pretty exciting for them. Now, things can always change, and for other teams too, but I really do kind of give the Cardinals the advantage right now. And so it's very exciting. In their spring training, somebody that really is crucial to pay attention to for me right now is Mr. Dexter Fowler. Dexter is really a key of this season. What he does is going to be an indicator, I think, of how well they do. And this is something really interesting. Dexter Fowler sent video, I'm assuming by phone, the reports that he sent video to none other than Barry Bonds. And it was video of is swing. And the report says that when Barry Bonds saw his swing, his response was, now we're all assuming this is an improved swing. Obviously, Dexter's made adjustments to try to do better than his disastrous 2018 season. When Barry Bonds saw this swing, the report is that he responded, it's perfect. So, Barry Bonds can be, he's an eccentric guy, and he's quite outgoing, but nonetheless, you know, even with steroid use, you got to be able to swing and hit the ball a certain way in order to make it go over that fence. It's not all power. And the man knows how to bat, okay? And so we don't know what all that means, but to Barry Bonds at least, Dexter Fowler's swing looks great. And so let's hope that the best comes out of that for Dexter Fowler, because he's a great guy. And we want to see the best for him. We want to see him have a great season. And it's only going to help the Cardinals, who really, really need his production. They need his production. And so that's a great report. You know, they always talk about when spring training starts, we're going back to the fundamentals. Back to the fundamentals of baseball. And we're going to work on fielding. The Cardinals' fielding was disastrous last year. Just was not good at all. And so they have an opportunity to turn things around, but they did this. They've done this the last 3 or 4 years. We're getting back to the fundamentals, and we're getting back to defense, doing defense the right way, proper fielding, and yama 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 yama. Okay, and it sounds great, and I hope that they are, but something has to change in order to get where they need to be. Something's got to change. Now the advantage that we have is, we've got a guy like Paul Goldschmidt fielding at first. That's a great start. And you've got a Harrison Bader out there that's just a wonderful, wonderful center fielder. That's going to help, you know, over the course of a whole year we'll have him now. And hopefully, you know, we can use Jose Martinez a little bit less in the field and maybe keep him at the DH if that happens. There's a lot that can happen for their defense this year, and that's really what we're hoping for. You know, we'll see what happens. Good things, good reports coming from spring training. And I do want to give just a moment to talk about the wonderful Hall of Fame class that's come in a couple weeks ago. I just thought it was really, really great. Roy Halladay is one of the best pitchers that's ever played the game, and so deserving. And it's sad that he's no longer with us, but he definitely, definitely deserved the accolade, and I'm proud of that. That's great. Didn't expect to see somebody like Edgar Renteria voted in, but that's okay. Edgar's a tremendous guy. Played for the Cardinals for a while. Mike Messina, quite a player. I've heard a few people debate that one too, because maybe his regular season numbers are not the Hall of Fame type player that you would think, but you got to look at his postseason. He was absolutely dominant in the postseason, right? And so that's awesome. But outside of these men, Mariano Rivera was a pitcher to behold when he was pitching. I tell you what, that guy, he's the greatest closing pitcher there's been to date, and he's deserving for sure of the Hall of Fame. I remember somebody was talking about when the Yankees played a National League team in the World Series. I think it was the Diamondbacks. I might be wrong about that. There was a player, I think it was Luis Gonzalez, who told a reporter sometime after the game that when they see Mariano Rivera warming up, that it strikes fear into the heart of men or something of that nature, you know. And I tell you what, it's the truth. The guy shut down players. He was just an incredible closing pitcher, so very deserving. There's a lot of people that's got beef with, well,
You know, there don't need to be a relief pitcher in the Hall of Fame. That's not, if there's any relief pitcher that deserves it, it's Mariano Rivera without a doubt. I will say this, and it's sort of the nature of the voting. I do have a problem with the fact that a player like Messina gets in, but then a guy like Curt Schilling is not in the Hall of Fame. What's up with that? Curt Schilling, a Hall of Famer, no doubt, in my mind, and he's not there. It's not perfected, right? report on my phone just now that just came up. The Cardinals are not naming a closer. So that's interesting. Who knows what that means? The first thoughts that come to mind is that they're going to have a duking out and just see what player claims the title during spring training, which is kind of what they did last year. Didn't work out too well for them necessarily, but it looks like that's what they're going to try to do again. Maybe if Craig Kimbrell's not signed when it gets close to the end of spring training, they sign him. You know, I don't know. Unless somebody else grabs him first. So that at least tells us that there's not a guy that's on the team right now that they just absolutely have 100% confidence in to be their closer. Just kind of an interesting report there. I'm going to tell you what. I'm really excited about this season. I'm going to tell you the players that excite me when I think about them. The first player that jumps into my mind outside of Paul Goldschmidt, that's who everybody's excited about. But on this Cardinals team, a guy that nobody's really looking at too much, that's incredible, it's going to have a great season, I believe, Harrison Bader. That guy's just fun to watch. And we got a whole season of him now. That's going to be exciting. That's going to be awesome. Paul DeJong, going to have a whole season of him again, hopefully. Man, there's just so much to like. Alex Reyes coming back. Fingers crossed that these guys stay healthy because they're going to be exciting on this team. And the games are starting, I think, on the 23rd. Either 22nd or 23rd is the Cardinals' first spring training game. It's just going to be so much fun. And, hey, we've got a great team. We've got a great team. And the state of baseball is not in the best situation. You got ownership and teams that don't want to sign free agents and be competitive. And then you got baseball mad and the players' union's mad. All that's going on right now, and that kind of stinks. But guess what? We've got a great team, and they're going to go out there and be competitive. And I think that over the last 3 or 4 years, if there's been a Cardinals team that has a chance to win the division, get in the playoffs, and get somewhere, it's this team right here. And I can't wait to see them out on the field. Join us for the next podcast. Thank you for subscribing. Hey, listen, rate us. Give us a 5-star. We don't want anything less than that. And subscribe to this podcast. Share it with somebody. Tell somebody, a fellow Cardinal fan or even a fellow baseball fan. I talk about more than Cardinals. You just heard that. And let them know about this podcast. And as the season gets closer, we're going to have more and more episodes. And I want you here right here with me for every last bit of it on the 4-Seam Report. Y'all have a nice week.